I'd like you to turn with me, if you have your Bible tonight, to the 8th Psalm. I'm going to read three verses from Psalm 8, verse 3, 4, and 5. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. And if you have Bible that has the original in it, it'll have, you have made him a little lower than Elohim, which is God. Sometimes used as angels, but primarily that word is translated from the Hebrew as God. You have made him a little lower than the angels or God, and you have crowned him with glory and with honor. What is man? Why are we here? Who are we? We have nothing to do with coming. We didn't decide to come. Nobody decided what you would be like. You didn't decide your parents. You didn't decide your talent. You didn't decide your sex. You didn't decide anything. We're here. Why are we here? What is it all about? Some years ago, I used to, in Brooklyn, while I was pastoring in Bay Ridge, I'd go to this certain barber shop. And this barber got to know me, so he would kind of let me speak. He didn't mind my testifying. So I'd go there, and on a Saturday, it was really crowded. I went on this Saturday to get a haircut, and the barbershop was crowded, and men began to talk. And so I finally tried to get a hold of the situation, get a hold of the conversation. And so I finally turned it around to something serious, and I asked the question to all those men, why are we here? What is it? What is life all about? And no one answered me. One man was getting a shave, and he had this lather all over his face, and he was almost unconscious, and he rose up, and he had this big sheet around him. He rose up and wiped the stuff off of his face, and he turned around, and he says, well, we're here. I said, yeah, I know we're here. I said, I asked the question, why are we here? He said, we're here to get married and have a family. I said, I think that's how we stay here. That's how the human race remains. But that's not why. That's how. Not why. Well, he says, you know so much, you tell us. I said, no, I just decided I wouldn't. I said, I tell you what I will do. I want to give you the book that'll give you the answer. I said, there's one book in the world that has the answer to that. The only book in the world. No book in any university, in any school has the answer. Just one book. And I'll be glad to give you that book, and I'll show you where to get the answer. He said, would you do that? I said, yes, give me your address. He gave me his address. Then I went on to witness to the folks and talked. And on Monday, I took the address and got the Bible to go down to meet this man. And lo and behold, when I find out the address, it's the big liquor store, the biggest liquor store in that part of Brooklyn. And I saw, dear Lord, cover the eyes of the saints when I walk into this liquor store, because they'll think he's going in here. It's Monday morning, and he had a bad day yesterday. And I said, Jesus, blind the Christians while I walk in here to give this man the Bible. So I went in, and sure enough, he was there, and he was anxious to talk with me. And I gave him the Bible, and he said, you don't mind if I don't leave it out here in the open? He said, you know what this place, what this is all about? He said, I'm going to leave it under here, and when there's no customers, I'll be reading what you show me. Why are we here? What is this all about? We are born into this world. We really have three lives. Our life begins at conception. Our first life is in our mother's womb for 9 months when we're formed. The Bible speaks beautifully and wonderfully about that, being formed in your mother's womb. And you have nothing to do, no decision, nothing. You're created and you're born. And I love to see new children and see those little fingers and toes and eyes, and everything is there. And you wake up, and for the first few months, of course, you know nothing. You only know how to cry and do a couple of things. And then at 2 years old, you begin to remember, and you begin to develop a personality. And some of us can remember when we were... I have a bad memory of being just before I was three at... we lived on the wrong side of the tracks in this little town, and the train came by, and I can remember going to bed early, and I was the youngest, and everybody was outside, and I could hear them talking in the other room, and the trains would come by, and I could never forget the lonesomeness and how I felt, boy, I wish I wasn't in here alone, and I can remember that. And then at three, and then you begin to wake up, and you realize you're here, and your childhood passes so quickly. And my childhood was I wanted to go to school. I was the youngest and I was left alone. And I was anxious to go to school. Now, that changed later on. But at first, I was anxious to go. And maybe you had that experience and you wanted to grow up. And you admired young men and young women. And you wished to grow up. And you passed so quick from that stage to the next stage. And you get into school and begin to play and dream about being a man and being a woman. And you're dreaming, you're passing quickly from stage to stage. And then all of a sudden the teenage years comes. And before you didn't want to play with girls. And now girls are looking wonderful to you. Now the whole thing changes and you become somebody else. And you're a young man and a young woman. And then you go on. And finally, if it's normal, you begin to keep company, go to school and go on to school and prepare for life and prepare for something, either to college or get a trade or somehow you find a way to make a living. And if, as most folks do, you fall in love with someone and you fall in love and then you have a marriage and you get married and you start a family. And now you're a young person and you're beginning a family and it's going so fast. And then children are born to you. But why are you here and why are they here? And you work hard and you go through that part of your life quickly and working so hard to make a living, to make a living for your family, to pay the rent, to get a car, to get the clothes, to get a vacation, to do all these things. And it's going by quickly and it's passing. You're going by, and I never forget one man. I was a boy, somewhere in the early days of my school, like of third or fourth grade, and this man came to visit my mother, a minister in the ministry, and he put his hand on my head, and he said, "My, I wish I could be like this again. I could be young again." And I thought, he's foolish. I'm wishing I could be like him, and he's wishing he could be like me. I can't wait to get out of being here and being a man like he is. But he was realizing already in his middle age that he had missed so much. And then your children come, and you work hard, and middle age comes. Now, middle age is a place that when you get there, you don't know you're there till you're finished. I never had a middle age. I was always thinking of myself as younger than I was. And all of a sudden, when I got to be 60, then I said, 60? You're not young anymore. Now, and you pass through, and you look for retirement, and you look to for the latter years of your life, and you look back over it, and it's go so quick. It's always changing. Never the same. And the Psalms tell us that in the 19th Psalm. It says, we're like a flower. And it says, life is like a flower. You grow up and you blossom and bloom, and then the winter comes and the wind blows and the storms come and it's gone. And what is it about? Why are you here? And it's so that folks never think of that. People stop just working so hard to get ahead and to have a little enjoyment in life, and then it passes. You're never the same. And as old age comes, and then we have nothing to look forward to but the exit. And when you come to the end and you look back and you say, why? What am I here for? What is the purpose? You can't decide. You didn't decide to come. You can't stay. You have to leave. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So only if you know the Lord, if you have Jesus Christ, he comes into your life, then life has meaning. Jesus came to give life meaning. Jesus came. The whole thing is about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, who came into the world and gave him that we might have life eternal. Eternal life. This is a passing stage from birth, from conception to the first life. We had no choice. Now, in this life, you choose. You couldn't choose to be here, but you can choose now, and you can decide now what the permanent life will be. What the life will be after death. Because this is nothing but a quick cycle of changing, of preparation. Total, this life is one thing, preparing for eternity. Nothing here is permanent. You change every day. You're changing. And it's going to pass. No one knows when, how quickly. Even if you live a long life, it's so short. Just before my mother left this life, I was talking with her. She said, son, it went so quick. She was in her 80s. It went so quick. Where did it go? She says, it's yesterday. I was with your father, with my grandfather, your grandfather, and my father, just as a girl. I remember him so well, with him in the fields. She said, and now, here I am ready to go. It's gone. It's changed. Why? What is your life going to amount to? What is the purpose? It can't be in just getting by. It can't be in things. We sang, set your hope on things eternal. We sang that tonight. Set your hopes on things eternal, because everything else passes away. It isn't lasting. You aren't going to last. This isn't permanent. This is a passing, transit, changing life. It's not permanent. Your home is not permanent. You are not permanent. Nothing is. You're just here today and gone tomorrow. To make it have sense, the only thing that matters is eternity, being ready for eternity. Now, to make that really come true, let me read to you the words of Jesus, what he said. Jesus Christ, Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, the 8th chapter, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What will it profit you if you have the biggest bank accounts, if you have the greatest home, if you have everything? So what would it profit you if you became the richest man the world ever had? What would it profit you if you had everything, everything? There's nobody in this city with as much as you had. Nobody, no king ever had as much. He said you could have the whole world. You could be the king of the world, but your life is brief. You're going to lose it and leave it. He said, what would the profit be? What would it mean if you got everything you wished and then it's time to leave and you lose your soul? And you lose your soul, which is eternal. This is a passing life. You're not going to stay here. I'm not staying here. I'm going to meet God. You are going to meet God. And that life is eternal. This life is a few years at best. That one is forever. The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And his firmament shows his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. And shows the glory. The sun said, the glory of God. He created the heavens. And the heavens have a message for you. And the greatness of heaven. Then the heavens and the stars that you see out there. So incredibly big, this universe. And if traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, just takes you a little time to go to the sun, but then to go to some of the stars, it would take, if you travel like us, it would take a long time to go, take years. But if you travel even as light, some of the stars are 100 light years away, farther than that. And this universe, he says, now listen, you're living in a universe. The heavens are over us tonight. There's no end to the heavens over your head. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky declares God's eternity. You can travel a million light years, and what's the end? They ask Einstein, how big was the universe? No, of course, nobody knows. Nobody knows how big it is. Nobody. So Einstein said he thought it was 5 billion light years. He said, I think it'll end at 5 billion light years. Well, it ended 5 billion light years traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second. You could go a billion years. And it'd be stars up there. A billion years. The sky says eternity. The sky is eternal. So don't think there's no eternity. You're living in an eternity. The world is part of eternity. Just look up at the stars. They declare God's glory. They declare his eternalness. Now we can see out to a billion light years. I forget how much it is now. But when we get out there, we see galaxies and galaxies and galaxies and right on and right on and right on. It's endless. It's eternal. It was made by an eternal God. You live in eternity. And you're going to eternity. There's one thing that matters. And that is that you have Jesus Christ in your life. And you know where you're going. Just stop and think. You're leaving here. You're not staying. This is not permanent. Are you ready? Have you made preparations? Make your life count. Let your life count for him. Because there is an eternity. And we're going to spend it with somewhere. Now, you can make your life count for something in eternity. You couldn't decide what you'd be in this life. But that's all going to pass away, so that doesn't matter. You can decide where you will spend eternity, and you can decide your reward, and you can decide to have a reward that's eternal. You can let your life count for something that's eternal. God, who called you and saves you, has a plan for every person in this building. He has a plan for you, an eternal plan. He's got a plan for you to be with Him in eternity. And He has a plan for you down here to get ready for that spot, that place in eternity's morning. He called you. God saved you. And He called you from before the creation of the world. He knew your name. God never learns anything. He known you from eternity. He knows you from eternity, and has an eternal purpose for you. He's chosen you, and He wants your life. Now, you couldn't decide who you'd be down here, and you can't decide your talents, but you can decide what you will be in eternity. God has a place for you, and you can have a reward, and you can have a great reward, and you can be the biggest giver there is. You know, it has nothing to do with the amount of money you give to God that your reward will be. It is what you have left. Amen. It's how you use what you've got. A poor person can give as much to God as a rich person. Amen. Because out of their little bit they give, and that counts as much as somebody that doesn't matter. God has got a great plan for you. He called you. He loved you with an everlasting love. He has called you, and He is waiting for you. Now, you're going to meet Him, and you're going to see Him. And I want you to hear. He wants you to hear. When He sees you, He wants you to hear, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You found my plan. You asked me, and you made your life count for things eternal. Your life counted. You were praying. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be something seen. It doesn't have to be something. But God will speak to you if you'll ask Him. He'll tell you what He made you for. If you will ask Him, "What do you want me to do?" He will tell you. I was saved. I asked God, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "I want me to preach the gospel." I said, "God, I'd do anything but that." Really. I saw the ministry, my mother and others in the ministry, and I was close to it. And I said, "God, please don't let me be a good man in the church. Let me do something else. I can't preach anyone. I can't." And my family knew I couldn't. I knew I couldn't. And I didn't want to. And I asked God, and I was never successful as a Christian. But when I finally crying and weeping and fell on my face, said, "I will do what you want me to do. I will preach the gospel." Now, I couldn't talk. I couldn't face an audience. I could not. I never testified in Bible school. Never stood up once till my last year. Never did. As a child, I was the most backward child you ever seen. Had such an inferiority complex. And I prayed and I said, "I will preach." And I told Jean, when we were keeping company, my wife who is here tonight, I told her, I said, "We may never do anything important in life," which is true. And that's not what counts, I said, "but I believe we're called to the ministry. And if we can just preach all of our life, and if one person gets saved, it'll be worth it, Gene. If one person finds you, if somebody in eternity meets me and says, 'I'm here because you preached,'" I said, "that's worth it. That's worth it. We spent all of our life." And I said, "if one soul will meet us in eternity's morning and say, 'It was worth it that you gave your life to preach the gospel,'" then he said, "I'll say, 'That's worth it, Gene, because it's eternal. Because one soul is worth more than the world. One soul is worth more than all of this world. This world is passing away. But I have a word for you." In Revelation, the 11th chapter and the 15th verse, it says, "And Jesus Christ, all the kingdoms of this earth are His, and He is going to reign forever and ever and ever and ever. And I am going to be with Him." He wants you to be with Him. Brother Dave is with Him. He wants you to be there. He's calling you. Hallelujah. make your life. I wish I could preach tonight and tell you that what's important is not the house. It's not the job. It's not what you look like. It's not how you're dressed or what your face looks like or the color of your skin. It's nothing. It's knowing Jesus Christ. That's what counts. You're passing. This life is going to be over. Every one of us are going into the grave, but our soul is going to be with Him for eternity. Let's shout tonight. Hallelujah. Take somebody with you. Have a vision. Have a vision that lasts, that's born of God. Your life can count. God's calling you. Eternity is a long time, folks. It's forever and ever and ever. When you've lived a million years, it's breakfast time. When you live, that's permanent. This is passing. That's fixed. This is quickly changing. That's changeless. That is forever and ever and ever and ever. It is forever, folks. A million, a billion years. You could fill this room with zeros. And it would just be the beginning. It's eternal, people. We're talking about eternity. Eternity. Changeless. Forever. Forever. You have a brief life. It's incredible. You can take this life and add and make something for yourself for eternity. God brought you here with a purpose. He has a purpose. And His purpose is more than the clothes on your back and the car you drive. That's such nonsense. And the car you drive and the apartment you live in, look where you live in. That's not what He brought you here for. He brought you here to see the value of people. Win a soul. Pick up somebody. Reach. Go out of your way. Pray. Make your life count. There's a plan for you. You're not an accident. God planned you. He called you. He brought you here tonight. Get a hold of God and get fastened to Him and listen to Him. Listen to Him. And He'll anoint you with His Spirit. He'll open the doors. He'll give you peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was visiting an elderly Christian lady in her 90s who was dying. She knew she was going to go. She was so pleasant to visit. Wonderful to visit her because she was not down. She said, I'm ready to go. I know where I'm going. And she said, if I had my life to live over, I wouldn't change anything. I've lived it for Jesus. I have no regrets. I have no regrets. I'm living it for Jesus, and I'm looking forward to meeting Him. Hallelujah. That's the way to go, people. Hallelujah. That's the way you want to go. The way you want to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. No regrets. Ready. Praise God. Because you know where you're going. You know that you're going to be there with Him forever. You know that you have Jesus Christ. You have Him. You have life eternal, everlasting life. He is born into you. His Spirit is in you. You have Jesus Christ in you. You can't die. This body can't. But the person never dies. He said, you never die. Hallelujah. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Take a step out of here, a step up into heaven. Hallelujah. 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 He loves you with an everlasting love. Now, make your life count. You might have a little time or much more time. Doesn't matter. Make it count. Commit your life to Christ. Ask Him, as He said to me, preach. I mean, thank God I said yes. Thank God. I was breaking down tonight. I just thought, I said, I thank you, Jesus, for preaching in that store, for the broken chairs that I slept on the floor, 48 broken chairs, rats running around by where we slept, no bathroom, no kitchen. That's how we started in Brooklyn those years ago. But I was at peace. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. And He loves you. You're His people. Let's go forward. The torch is passed. Brother Dave is gone. But this work goes on. Give yourself to God. Let Him put His hand upon your life tonight. Commit your life to Him tonight. Let's let your life count. You have no idea what God will do with a yielded soul if you'll let Him. He'll bring a revival to this city. Hallelujah. There's thousands of people that He wants to save. There's lives that He wants to change. One life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. God bless you, everyone. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we were singing our songs earlier, and I tell you, I don't think I've ever sat in a more pleasant worship service. Never felt like I've been a part of such a clear, wonderful presence of the Lord. And when we sang the last song, everything in me wanted to just, you know, motion to Greg to sing, you know, one more and one more and one more. But, you know, I felt the Lord speak to my heart. And He said something that just seemed at the time a little strange to me. He said, did you see that? He said, of all the people that were worshiping and singing and shouting, he said, did you see that person who wasn't? And I had to be honest and say, no, Lord, I didn't. And He said, but I did. And He said, I want that person to sing with everyone else. He said to me, as I continued to sit there, He said, the song is not complete until that voice is a part of this great choir. He said, you might not miss that sound. He said, but I miss that sound. I miss that voice. And He says to me, I know that voice because that voice used to sing to me. And that voice used to be a sweet sound in my ear. He said, but I haven't heard it for a while. There's somebody in this auditorium whose voice Jesus is missing. He misses you. He's saying, this church is not complete until that person is a part of it. What I hear from the Lord is very simple. There's somebody in this room who belongs here. Right now, you might not feel like you belong. You might have come just because you, at one point, were used to coming to church, or you might have come for a few times, and yet you feel like you're on the fringes. You feel like you're on the outskirts. I have a word from the Lord for you. Very simply, you belong here. This is your family. And we are not complete without you. I remember walking through these doors a long time ago, a couple decades ago, and feeling conflicted. Part of me said, I don't belong here. And part of me said, this is my family. This is where I belong. And I just needed something like what we heard tonight. I just needed somebody to remind me of who I am, why I was created, what my purpose is. Somebody to remind me where I belong. I can speak from the depths of my heart and tell you, from the perspective of someone who knows the feeling, the perspective of somebody who knows what it is to be backslidden at some stage in life and to have heard the Lord, have sung to Him, and then have gone astray, and then to come to a place like this, hear a message that reminded me of who I am. I can tell you, from that perspective, this church is not complete without you. We thank God for all that will happen in your life as you come and give your life to the Lord and just say, God, I'm not going to run anymore. But I tell you, there's a lot of things that are going to happen, not just in your life, but through your life. See, it's not enough for any Christian that he or she should go and be with Jesus without having brought other people with them. This is an opportunity then for you to be absolutely certain that you're going to be with Jesus forever and for you to get back in the race and to get back into this responsibility, back into this ministry, back to the place where God can use you to save men and women. This is a hard job that God has called us to. And we can't do this without you. Right? We can't fight against the enemy with one hand tied behind our back. We need every single person here. The devil's trying to lie to somebody in this room and say, you don't belong here. You belong on the fringes. You come every now and again. You pop in every couple of Tuesdays. And you know, but God is saying to you, and you heard the message, you heard the worship, you heard the songs, that's your song. You're supposed to be singing those songs from the depths of your soul. God is saying to you, the song is not complete. The choir is not complete without your voice, without your praise. God loves you. He misses you. He's crying out for you. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord, brothers and sisters. If you hear the voice of the Lord calling you, if you've been backslidden, you've turned away from the Lord, you've kind of gone astray, it's been a while since you sang the songs of Zion from the depths of your soul. You heard the message tonight. You have a purpose. If you're not a Christian and you want to be, you want to give your life to Christ because, again, you heard the word tonight and you know that you have a purpose. These altars are open in the front of this auditorium. I can tell you a story as you come and you can begin to come. And I just want to tell you a story. When I was at a certain age, feeling lost, feeling lonely, feeling like I don't fit in, wondering what my purpose is, wondering why I'm here. I remember one day opening up that holy book. And after years of feeling, as it were, like the ugly duckling, not knowing where I belong and just feeling like I was cast out of everywhere, I looked in that book and I saw these beautiful swans swimming throughout the pages of it. And something in me said, that's your family. That's why you don't fit in out there, because this is what you are. God is calling you. He misses you. He loves you. It's time to come home. Rejoin your family. God is with you. You can come as we sing.
Let's put our hands up together and thank God. God loved you with an everlasting love. He's called you. He loves you. He gave His Son to die on the cross that you could have this life. But He has more. He wants you. He wants your life now to count for Him. Ask God to help you to understand the smallest thing that you do for Jesus is important. He needs folks singing, but He needs folks on mission trips. He needs people to pray. He needs you to speak to somebody. He's got a plan. He has a plan, a wonderful plan for you. And He wants you to fulfill that plan and that purpose that He had for you from the foundation of the world. God cares about you tonight, and we want you to open your heart together with me. Let us open our hearts to Him and say, let our lives count for you. Whatever days we have left or years, let us let our lives count for Jesus. Father, we thank you that you've called us. We thank you that we're here in your house, in your presence. You called us. You've chosen us. We thank you, God, that you have a purpose and a plan for every life. And God, we pray that every person in this building will hear your voice and will be conscious of your presence and will listen to the still small voice of the Lord when you speak to them to go here, go there, pass out a tract, pray, do something. God, help them to be available that at the end of the day that we can hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help us to catch a glimpse of eternity, of things that really matter. Help us to turn loose. Father, help us to turn loose of the things that hold us back. Turn loose of the things that don't matter, that are holding us back. And let us make a total consecration to you, that a light can shine, that your blessing can rest upon us. God, bless this people. Go with them as they go to their homes. God, help them to be conscious of you, to listen to your voice, to walk with you and talk with you, and God, to be the person that you've called them to be. Now, Lord, we ask for strength. We ask for strength from you. Strengthen us. Strengthen us in the things of God. Strengthen us in the Word of God. Strengthen us in our prayer life, in our commitments to you, in our walk with you, God, that we might be all that you want us to be. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. And we praise you tonight. And God, we ask you to walk with us and let us walk with you. Fill us with your praise and with your glory as we walk in this life. God bless you, everyone. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.